Need a motion to come out of executive session and return to open session.
So moved, Adele Jones.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Jones, seconded by Ms. Wise. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Good afternoon and welcome to the August 9th, 2023 Zoom Board Meeting. I call the meeting to order at 4 o'clock and received a motion to go into executive session by Ms. Jones, and it was seconded by Mr. Hayes. Before we approve the agenda, I need to take a roll call. Mr. Johnson.
Here.
Ms. Wise.
Here.
Dr. Mastin.
Here.
Mr. Hayes.
Here.
Ms. Jones.
Here.
Mr. Knudel.
Here.
And Gary Brittingham's here. Need a motion for the approval of the agenda.
So moved, Adele Jones.
Second, Will Knudel.
Motion made by Ms. Jones, seconded by Mr. Knudel. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Need a motion for the approval of the regular and executive minutes from the July 5th, 2023 board meeting.
So moved, Will Knudel.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Knudel, seconded by Dr. Mastin. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next, we'll move to the superintendent's report.
Thank you, sir. Before we begin the report, I want to extend a welcome to Dr. Daniel Lowe, our newest assistant principal, Dr. Lowe. Thank you for being here. I wanted to introduce you to the board and also to say welcome to Mr. Johnson, who is in his new capacity as our WSEL coordinator. Dr. Langley is here to talk about Raven Academy. Mr. Bogger is here, and Whaley's behind me. Everybody's doing a great job, so it's good to see you all. So thanks for being here. So first on our reports for superintendents are the monthly financials and ESSER summary. Scott Hill.
So I'm going to be presenting the monthly financials as of July 31st, our first one of the year. We are at 8.3% of the fiscal year complete and 7.7% of our payroll is complete. On the tax collections report on the next page, our July tax receipts were $29,226, which is also our year-to-date tax receipts. So far this year, we've received 0.2% of our anticipated tax receipts. And looking at last year, we had also received 0.2%. So we're right in line with where we were last year. Next is the revenue report, which has already been approved. So we can move on to the call center. Again, we're 8.3% of the fiscal year complete and 7.7% of our payroll is complete. And if you look down at the local salary line, so far we're looking really good there. We are below our payroll expenditure percentage. If you go on to the second page of our call center, our overall expenditure percentage is a little bit higher than where we currently are in the fiscal year. And that is due to the extra expenses and encumbrances that we had at the beginning of the year. So there's a lot of things that are needed to start school in the new year. We're buying supplies, buying equipment, we're encumbering utility costs, and all those things are needed when students start in the school year. So actually, it should be higher this time of year. Theoretically, that expenditure percentage should be higher at this time of year. So actually, that all looks great to me. Next is the ESSER report. On ESSER 2, we're hitting the home stretch. We are almost finished with ESSER 2. In the mental health category, we had payroll costs for our mental health counselor. And in our extended school year category, we had bus transportation, advertising costs, payroll costs for our summer exploratory and Raven Academy. And the remaining funds in ESSER 2 are going to be going to the mental health payroll costs. In ESSER 3, we, in our learning loss category, we bought iPad cases for the new iPads for the freshmen this year. And we also had tuition costs for our adult ed program to help those underserved populations that are related to COVID. In our summer learning category, we had food and instructional supply costs for our Summer Exploratory and Raven Academy, as well as payroll costs for our Summer Exploratory and Raven Academy. I did want to bring to your attention on ESSER 3, there is a new category down towards the end by indirect costs. It's called the TSC project, and it has been added to our ESSER 3 funds. And what that is, it's the tech school curriculum project. And what happened was the state had $1 million in ESSER funds, and they've been sitting on it for a couple of years. They decided to keep $200,000 of that money, and the $800,000 they split equally among the three technical schools. So we got $266,666.38. And what we're doing, the three technical schools in the state are coordinating with each other to implement programs for students to either graduate having completed either 1 year of college or 1 year of a registered apprenticeship program. And we're working with our adult ed program on how we're going to spend the money. We have a little bit in salaries for our technical teachers to work on curriculum maps. That's about 3% of the budget is going towards that. 19% of the budget is going towards contracted services, which is going to be mostly marketing materials like advertising, printing for this program. And then 78% of this project is going towards capital outlay, which is major equipment purchases for our technical areas. So we're excited about that.
May I ask you to go back to the cost center report real quick?
Uh-huh.
Under our security SRO, the $99,662 that we've encumbered or expended, we had a budget of $97,000, so we're at 102.7%. What was that for?
Our the purchase order for our school resource officer.
And the difference is they increased state police?
Yeah, the amount of what they
required.
They required this year was 99, but when we did our budget back in May, we thought 97. We went higher than it was last year, but it wasn't quite high enough. But it won't go up anymore. That's it.
This year.
No, for this year. I mean, it's going to be, that's what it's going to be for the rest of the year.
We'll be adjusting revenue with the final budget as the board
considers in December. Thank you.
The self-insured policy for the iPads, that worked out well?
Extremely. We had the decision to make about whether to enroll in the Apple insured program, which is going to be $49 a copy on this, or we budgeted a self-insured program last year. We recommended, the board approved, to go with self-insured because we believed that if students knew that the iPad was theirs, and that when they graduated, they'd walk across the stage with it, but they'd take care of it. And I don't remember the exact number, but I want to say 6 or 7 iPads got eaten by the dog. During the year, out of 1,300 and some, along the way the tech department's done an outstanding department managing the iPad system. The graduates who graduated last year left with it, but the getting back to your question, Dr. Mastin, the impact from a budget standpoint was insignificant, and so our theories, at least so far, have worked out.
Another question. I've addressed this a little bit tonight, but on the ESSER funds, did adult educators get their own funds? And what my point is the ESSER funds that the adult education got, they included in this, or should there be a separate report of what's happening to the ESSER funds that went to adult education? Because we're responsible for that, I assume.
Yeah, and the board approves the adult education budget under information systems tonight. I know that Swaley's report, there's receipt of funding. So we receive grant applications from the Department of Education to apply for funds and programs. And Mrs. Swaley and Mr. Haig are very good at that and make those applications. The ESSER funds themselves are used as a source. Happy to mention this, remained at DOE. Grants were made available. We apply for the grant. The grant is received, and the department codes where it's coming out of their ESSER pot up there from that standpoint. So the budget that the board approved for adult education is based upon that information, and then other funding opportunities that come to us from adult ed itself. We've tried, and again, as Mrs. Hatfield mentioned, we've tried to, we actually made a request for students involved in adult education who were impacted with learning loss situations to be able to use the learning loss money for adult ed students. We received permission to be able to do that. So, again, we consider ESSER a district-wide application, so that's where the funding came from.
So therefore, adult ed as well as high school, when you say consider them together?
We always do.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be great. Unless there's any other questions.
I am going to hand out It's the daily validity report as of July 1st and the financial position report that I'm presenting tonight in your packet is based on information off this report. This is that report that we do three times a year. I say that every time, but it's just to show the district solvency or position throughout the year to make sure that we are okay with meeting payroll and expenses throughout the school year. So on the first summary page, you can see our projected available balance of what we expect it to be as of October 15th. And it's quite a bit more this year than it was on last year's report, due to the fact that we had funded a lot of the set-asides in FY23. You had approved us funding those set-asides and putting money in there. So because we did that last fiscal year, our set-aside balances as of June 30 that we're going to roll over into July 1 were a lot heavier than they were prior year. So that's why our projected available balance is a lot more. I've given you a copy of the daily validity as of July 1st because the majority of the information that I input into this report that is on the subsequent pages of the report comes right from this report with just a few projection spots. But everything on here is based on data as of July 1, and our outlook for this fiscal year is that we're going to continue to have a strong financial position for our district.
Does the debt service include the bond we approved last meeting? Or not? It's existing.
The debt service, that builds knowledgeable as I am on this, the debt service goes to pay for the full bonds that are encumbered by the district. We have a bond anticipation note for year one funding, and we've received or are in the process of receiving bond anticipation note for the year two funding, which we just received. So the anticipated interest for those is included in the budget request that we presented to the board. So any principal and interest payments are included in that number. The balance is there to pay straight principal and interest on the debt service. The thing that debt service is the great misnomer in that people tend to think of balances that are available to school districts on June the 30th. When they see the numbers in there, why do you need to increase taxes? Because you have these big balances, say, either in carryover or debt service or other accounts. And then we've had this discussion before. It comes down to cash flow. Tax bills are going out. They're due the end of September. We'll receive money, our significant money, October, November timeframe. But yet, the principal and interest payment due on bond number 5 is due on July 15th. And this one is due in August. And this one is due in September. So you have to accrue carryover balance in order to get your expenses, just like the local salary. Payroll expense keeps coming every 2 weeks. So you have to manage your cash flow on your budget so that your local funds available at the end of the year carry you through July, August, September. You have a 3-pay month in there. It becomes a 7-pay issue. You saw on the financial report, the average monthly payroll is $577,000 local. Monthly. So Chris does a great job in this. You gotta manage your money, because the reason we have a district financial report is that historically some districts did not manage their money well. It got to be September and the well was dry. And they had a payroll due the following Friday. So the reason this is done is increments that it is done is to make sure that you have balances forward that can manage those expenses if in fact you got yourself into a jam. We are not in a position to be in a jam. We're in a good financial position.
The interesting thing is that the state requires us to keep a reserve account, right, of $2.5 million in order to cover salaries, right?
I would tell you that they require a percentage of annualized salary expense for the July, August, September number. The 2.5 number was determined based upon a previous decision made by a board a long time ago in terms of that $2.5 million. That's required to be in there. We have that reserve account. It's earmarked in the financial pages that you get, and also budget side. We have a $2.5 million reserve account that the state wants to make sure that if you spend everything else, you've got that reserve in order to be able to handle your payroll.
But as salaries go up, that $2.5 won't change? Or should it?
What I would tell you is that we try to manage our money, and that as we receive increased revenues in the state, so the number of new homes that are built in Sussex County and the value for a penny. So when we look at our budget pages, we're growing at about, Chris, what were we, $12,000 to $15,000 a penny. And So
15.
If we're collecting 20 some cents for debt service, if you're going up, let's go conservative, $10,000 a penny at that point, we're picking up $290,000. So that's done in calculations for salary compensation going forward. So we believe that buffer with the value of the penny, because the number of properties and those types of things, has this district has not had to dip into its reserve, but I believe, since it was established. Are you aware of any time we got into 2.5?
We did once, but we put it right back.
Had to be a long time ago.
It was.
Yeah.
Was
it recent?
But we did once, but as soon as our tax money came in, we put it right back.
Right. So you're correct, Dr. Matson. There's this reserve account. We're transparent about it. It's in the set aside. It's under reserve. And that's why we probably harp on this every month about, local salary expense percentages. It's the only line on the cost center that counts. That sounds crazy, right? But if 80% of your budget is tied up in local salary expense, that's the one you got to watch. Because if you go in the wrong direction on that, you're in trouble. You're not going to get out of a problem in that salary line by managing $50,000 in another account somewhere out of the scale of those other numbers. So you got to manage that. Any other questions? Financial position report or budget? Did a nice job, Mrs. Hatfield. Thank you. Purchase orders and vouchers going forward. Read out of the chute, Mr. Pernodal, SRO, $99,662. That number is established by the Delaware State Police, not by the school district, and we have no negotiating factor. We're looking for, Mrs. Whaley can speak to this, state apprenticeship funds for SAVAS, for apprenticeship classes, the branded iPad cases. Mrs. Spiker has one on the end of the table. We put one of those on all of the iPads, and we use ESSER funds for that. I learned about the Huddle athletic package subscription, which has to deal with digital transferring of games and schedules and events and everything for the athletic department. BSNs for staff identification and shirts. We continue to move, and the board has an addition. We think it's important for staff to be identified. So whether that's with the cards, the lanyard, staff shirt, so that when someone is in the building, they know that there's a staff member if they're having that. We don't require staff shirts to be worn, but it's amazing when you give folks things from an identification standpoint. So we continue to do that every year. ABHA contract for a company called Educational Systems. This is one of the consultants associated with our project, and they would do IT and audiovisual security design proposal for the new school. All in for both design packages was $295,000. For note, the planning budget for services for the IT portion was $470,000, so we've been able to get a better number for the costs on the budget. Purchased A3 communications for access control, CCTV, intrusion fire alarm monitoring system, local security set aside $49,000. We bring the big numbers to the board, so that you're aware of what they are. Any questions?
ABHA, we pay them
and then they pay this contract service?
That's correct. So this number of $295,000 will be added to the purchase order to ABHA, BSA for that, and the signature lines will occur so that the funding source for that is us, but it is through the intermediary, which is ABHA.
And does that money come from the state money, or where
it comes from? The construction funds,
construction money, okay.
Right, which are a combination of state and local,
yep.
60-40, and it comes from that pot. Board policies I'd like to introduce tonight. When I say introduce, it doesn't mean new ones. It's a revisit on two board policies regarding non-discrimination and administrative regulations. In a lot of our policies, we make statements that we say we'll revisit every 3 years or revisit every 4 years. Proposal for policy AC regarding non-discrimination has to do with the athletic director being the Title IX coordinator. We'd like to change that to Director of Human Resources and Support Services. The board will continue to go through the process, but we're required to bring first and second readings to the board for consideration along the way. At the conclusion of the second reading, there will be a recommendation to approve. The board is encouraged to read, ask any questions, or do any comparisons regarding the introduction of this policy. The second one has to do with vacations and holiday review. Again, we're introducing this tonight. Language clarifications regarding 188 employees, 207 employees, or 222. That's another way of saying 10, 11, and 12-month employees. And there's a difference in semantics that comes along with that. And we'll be making recommendations regarding changes in the way the current policy is put together. More than likely, I think it's time to say this at this point, the board is aware that September 13th, we're going to be spending and receiving quite a bit of time with an update regarding the school construction project, where a recommendation will be made regarding design documents for the building program itself. I anticipate that that's going to take an extensive period of time. That mean? I don't know. We don't know until we get here. It's a big packet. We received an assurance today that the board will be getting this in advance so that you can take a look. But the reason I'm saying this is that I'm probably going to delay some normal business that would be done in September until the October meeting. We'll have personnel. We may have some contract matters along the way, but normal business, as we're going through tonight, will probably be doubled up into October, so that the time can be devoted during the September meeting for the design document presentation. I'm sure there'll be three, four, or five folks from the design group that will be here also to explain where we are in the next step. Design document's important. That then gets, actually, before it even gets there, it will go through a budgetary review to see that we're in compliance. Then it goes to the department. And then we begin working on something called construction documents. And construction documents are the documents that are used to bid on the project itself. I would hope that we would see those. My guess would be January in terms of when they would happen. And then could have been sometime in the spring for the project. A lot of details in between. We'll be doing a construction update later, and asking Mr. Canolo and Mr. Johnson for their comments also. But I wanted to let you know that second reading recommendations on these policies won't be coming to you until October, October meeting. But if you have any input, please don't hesitate.
Regarding the the assignment of the footage for each department, for each career pathway. Many, many months ago, we decided or talked about the career pathways. Did we finalize what pathways we're definitely going to have and what ones we're going to eliminate?
Yes, sir. And that was done in the schematic design approval process that the board approved last spring.
Okay. And then that will be translated into footage.
Yes, sir.
Here, okay.
Yep. Next on the agenda, as the board is aware, we run Raven Academy at the end of June for students who need credit recovery, and also an exploratory program for 7th and 8th grade students in the county. As one of his last official administrative acts, Mr. Johnson was the point person for the Raven Academy exploratory program for 7th and 8th graders, and he has a report to share with you this evening. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. So in our second year, we ran our 7th and 8th grade Raven Academy recap. We had 126 students sign up, unique sign-ups for the four sessions that we ran. For the first sessions A and sessions B, we ran criminal justice, auto diesel, business, finance, and marketing, welding, collision repair, carpentry, dentistry, early child ed, HVAC, media broadcasting, cosmetology, and digital publishing. And that was from Tuesday, June 20th through Friday, June 23rd. The second session, session C and session D, which were June 26th, Monday to 26th through Thursday the 29th, we ran child ed, welding, collision repair, carpentry, dentistry, environmental, HVAC, media broadcasting, cosmetology, and digital publishing. We had an average daily attendance of around 77% of those who signed up versus who showed up. We had an overwhelming number of participants answer that they heard of the summer program via our social media posts. The top enrollment, both kind of neat, cosmetology, criminal justice, welding, and dental services kind of rounded out the most popular and most attended sessions that we had. And we had sending districts from, I call it independent, private, and homeschool, Milford, Del Mar, Indian River, Laurel, Seaford, Sussex Academy, Woodbridge, and Cape and Lincoln. Round up 126 students. The overwhelming sending district was Indian River, with about 29% of our participants came from Shelbyville Middle, Georgetown Middle, Hillsborough Middle, and Southern Delaware School of the Arts. So it was very successful. I have a little cute little, one of our seventh graders went to environmental on session C, and G.L. Jefferson took him out in the greenhouse, and they gave him they called little cherry tomatoes and peppers and this. And the young man came in the next day with two bags of tortilla chips and two different things of salsa that he made that night to share with his environmental group the next day. So it was always a success to kind of see them. They're very excited. So that's very good.
So did the schools, the local districts, identify those students and register them here?
No, sir. We, on our online application,
so we
asked the question, you know, your sending district, what grade you're going into, how did you hear about it?
So the school didn't actually refer them?
No, sir.
Okay.
No. It was an open.
And then the other question is, why criminal justice, auto diesel, business, finance, marketing were only offered one session, whereas all the others were offered both sessions?
Planning purposes, I think when we announced that when we were doing this, some of those teachers had planned obligations,
okay,
and they were able
so
to do
it. So it's a matter of
teacher
availability.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I want to say thank you to Mr. Johnson and the entire staff for doing a great job. There's, if you get the opportunity to walk around with 7th and 8th graders, are an energetic group of young people. And as last year, they were very excited to be here and to ooh and ah over equipment, materials, and bang a hammer, and do a lot of different things. So the staff did a great job, but it takes a strong point person also, and Johnson and his team did a good job with that.
Question?
Yeah, I'm sure.
No, okay.
I'm sure, you know, I'm very much interested in the coordination between local schools and Essex Tech. And have you given any thought to where local schools could identify some of these students and refer them to us, or been any discussion with the local schools? So that they could identify a particular student may benefit.
I don't think we had, that communication doesn't really exist with the local schools. Again, this was open for the 7th and 8th graders,
right.
So when it comes to the high school, but we didn't have any direct communication with the sending districts. No.
Because, you know, the way we're doing it is fine, but it means there has to be parental involvement, basically.
Yes.
And this local schools, I would assume, could identify the students that may benefit most from coming to come to Sussex Tech.
Okay.
The superintendents of the local districts are aware that we
right.
offer this program and that it's available, and there's an open opportunity to be involved. We're also having conversations with local school districts and the work that Dr. Denby's going to be doing regarding involvement, not only on the adult education side, but when we carry the message, we're going to carry the message about everything that's available for students to the counseling group,
good.
Primarily because they have, typically have the closest connection to students. We're trying to be a full service technical school district for district of residence, and as we've discussed, for students who can't get in on the lottery, we're encouraged that the possibility of afternoon for traditional age 9 to 12, then the opportunity to let them know about the 7th and 8th grade program also exists.
I will say one time there was an extremely generous offer made to the school districts, and Sussex Tech offered to go to their schools and tell them about Sussex Tech. They chose who would be in the auditorium. They got to choose which kids would hear the message. And when it was done, if those students didn't have parental support to fill out the application, Sussex Tech offered to go back and help those kids complete the applications. And not one school district took us up on that offer, and not one kid ever heard our presentation. So I'm not sure what else you can do.
I'm not either.
Totally.
But it's worth continuing somehow, some way.
I don't know any more than you can do.
Well, of course, a lot of ill feelings
between
Sussex Tech and local districts back then that may not exist or be quite strong now as they were.
We're getting there.
Hey.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
But it has not been without our effort, I guess.
No, right.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you.
And the second half of Raven Academy is Dr. Langley and to work with our staff and credit recovery for students, and again, trying to keep folks on track. Dr. Langley?
Yeah. So, the first thing is that thank you to Kelly, Kim, and Michelle for all their help in planning, especially Kim Banks. She really knows EdMenim inside and out, and so she is really boots on the ground. She's the one running it, managing it, helping the teachers get oriented with the program. So, she's amazing. We did change one thing this year. We went 2 fewer days. So from 10 days last summer to 8 days this summer. We kept the same time frame, so students were in there for 4 hours. And it's self-paced, 100% online. Yes, you do have a teacher with you, but they are they're running through the modules on their own, and the teachers that are facilitating answer questions and things that they need to and grade. Difference this year also, the students use their own iPads, which was a huge help for us because we didn't have to worry about carts and unlocking and putting them back. And we told them from day one, if you don't bring your iPad, you will be dismissed from the program. And not one student forgot their iPad. So it worked out great. We did provide breakfast and food and transportation via the hubs. We had 15 staff members, including a couple of special ed teachers and some pairs that kind of floated around to help with all the accommodations. We had about a little over 100 students who participated in the program. 126 courses were completed. We did allow some students to complete 2 courses, but we put a cap at that. Whereas in the past, we had allowed more, but we had 2 fewer days to do so. So we put it at a cap. You can see there by subject how many completed. Obviously, most English, the highest need was in English and math. And some other data, any students who didn't start a particular course that they wanted to recover credit for can do so through GROVES and the in-school credit recovery. They would do that on Tuesday and Thursday, and their guidance counselor would help set that up and schedule them. A student who started a course but couldn't finish it by day 8, let's say they got 80% through, they just have to finish a couple modules and assessment, they will keep their work, Kim's able to save their work, and then they can continue through GROVES and finish at their own pace in the fall, which is great. Something new here for us is that we did dismiss some students this year for attendance. Last year, the past couple years, we were pretty lenient on that, but we actually dismissed 19 students for excessive tardies or missing because it's only 8 days. So we wanted to set a precedent this year that you got to be here. And for the first time, we actually let 4 students go for disciplinary reasons. We hadn't done that in the past too, so hopefully we're setting a standard there. In terms of retention, you can see the numbers of how many students would have been retained in that grade had they not taken summer school or Raven Academy. And then you can see in the second column there how many did. So we're promoting about the same number of students as we did last year. The big one there is your senior. So at the bottom of the 7 who were not going to graduate, we actually did graduate 3 of them. So we handed their diplomas to them out here, and someone gave them, took their picture, so they are done. But we have 4 that have withdrawn, and they are finishing up at GROVES. Some concurrent programs that we ran, Ms. Collins and Ms. Clark, our Spanish teachers, came in and did some stamp testing. We got 24 students tested, which helps with scheduling, because many of them tested out of Spanish 1 and or 2 and or 3. So that really helps. iReady is an assessment that we just started administering this year. So Mrs. Weathers brought in some of the incoming freshmen to test the GO9 students to say, okay, maybe we can place you in a different math class, because there were some students misplaced last year. So that was really beneficial. And then lastly, driver's ed, we did allow 21 students to take the classroom portion only. They all completed the classroom portion and passed. And all students will drive in the fall. Any questions?
What happened to the 19 students who were dismissed for attendance and 4 for disparate reasons? And what's our responsibility legally to those 19 students to provide an education?
So they will have to recover that credit, whether it's to put it back into their schedule and take it next year, if there's room in their schedule, or they will have to enroll in the in-school credit recovery through GROVES, which is on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And their counselor would help schedule them.
And then do we have any legal responsibility, if they don't do that, to notify them by certified letter or anything, that we have tried to fulfill our obligation,
but we haven't been able to do it? Yes, the counselors do send a certified letter to say that they were in danger of failing, and they had this opportunity, and some of them didn't come because of vacation plans, some of the activity hubs are not close or convenient for them in terms of up, and others didn't show up.
So they were just abandoned, is my point.
Yeah.
So again, our motivation is to do the best we can for our students, keep them on track, keep them on schedule, keep them moving forward. That has implications for us on schedule and number of students in a section, and impact along the way. We also want to make sure, and I again commend the staff for taking the position regarding attendance and discipline. We're talking about 8 days. We provide transportation, we provide breakfast and lunch, we provide a way to stay on course and continue to move forward and continue to make it challenging. So, we're supposed to be helping students prepare to be young adults and to have that responsibility. So sometimes you can't make them drink.
Right.
And so we're going to continue to offer. We have students who are able to graduate because we did this. We had students who were able to continue on with their class and not get bottlenecked, because research and data shows if you get retained, then your probability of dropping out increases. So the ability to help these 100 students advance themselves is something we should be proud of. Wish the number was higher, wish more would take advantage of it. it'll get us into that sincerity discussion about taking school serious during the year. So you don't have to boil down to an 8-day marathon on some things going forward. Dr. Langley and her team did a great job of staying involved and motivated, and certainly the staff from the Adult Education Division as part of that group. It was a team effort, and they did a good job. So, thank you.
We've had a construction update. And we're going to do a couple things a little bit differently regarding building management and update and the construction project itself. As you are aware, Mr. Johnson and Mr. Pernodal participate and are involved in multiple meetings regarding the planning and development. There's a few diagrams behind you. I can assure you there's a lot more. They come along with the project, but they're actively involved in this process. And so Mr. Johnson has a portion of the update. Mr. Pernodal does. Mr. Avey's going to talk about some additional things that are happening on the site and the program altogether. So, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Pernodal.
Just an update on the utilities options. And the good news is Chesapeake Utilities has made a commitment to us for hooking up and supplying natural gas, which should save us a lot of money in operational cost. And importantly, make the commitment now so that in the planning we can determine the difference between one natural gas equipment and propane. So they've made that commitment. We've received a draft agreement from, I think it's Artesian. There's been minor edits, and I guess we'll look for a return. It's somewhat similar to the Central's, I guess, aren't we?
Yes. Correct. Yeah, but it's based off of Sussex Central's, but obviously we have a unique site.
Right. We're pursuing an agreement with the town of Georgetown to operate our sewer system and maintain it. We're going to be required to do some updates to our system to accommodate the size of the new construction. Solar grants on hold, and we're looking at the possibility of using solar in the construction of our new school. Building materials now at the end.
The it's kind of on a side question, but natural gas versus propane and cancer causing association with natural gas, I think, versus propane. And the stuff that's going on in New York City and different places. Any idea? Because we're going to have a call on our program. So, will be any discussion there of that?
We have complete confidence in Chesapeake Utilities regarding their ability to deliver a fuel source that we believe is cleaner and easier to maintain than the fuel oil that we are currently burning. As part of the project along the way. I'm not aware of the issues that you're speaking to regarding natural gas.
I am a little bit, and that's pretty controversial.
Yes.
I don't know that all the information that's been published is, some of it is questionable in terms of its accuracy.
Right.
And there are some things that cause cancer if you drink 18 gallons of it a day for 100 years and cause cancer. I'm not sure how much of it.
Well, I don't know either, but it's
just not this.
It's just an issue that
I know the issue. I read it.
We're making a long-term commitment here, and I think it's the right commitment. But the question is, I think we need to be sure the problems that's going to bite us 5, 10, 15 years from now.
Sure.
And it may be the question can't be answered, which you're making the point.
I think we're making the best decision we can with the information that we have at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We're pleased. I mean, Hunt's been working hard. This to be able to get natural gas to this site is a coup. And a water source through Artesian is great. friends at the town of Georgetown continuing to provide service for us regarding wastewater and sewer and that situation. That's a trifecta for us is for the planning of this new building. And I suspect it will impact the property values up and down Route 9 as we come along. But, someday we'll go back and do an analysis, Ms. Hatfield, and we'll look at our, the consumption of energy costs for our current 300,000 square feet versus 350,000 plus. I'm looking at my dollar in the envelope bet is that our costs are going to be significantly lower and cleaner and more efficient, certainly better for the maintenance department than we're, and our maintenance department does a great job now, but I cringe every time that fuel truck pulls up out there and dumps 10,000 gallons, because I know 2 days later, Ms. Zappa's coming down the hall with a $8,000 or $9,000 bill. And so it's good news. Building materials.
I think it, we're continuing to refine the options. We've looked at a bunch of different things for exterior cladding, and we're kind of narrowing that down. Relatively cost availability and durability, how long is it going to last, the upkeep. You'll see in the presentation next month some of the decisions. I know I spent a day riding around in Newcastle County with the architect looking at some of the stuff we're proposing on existing buildings. And, we've not always agreed and changed some of the recommendations, but we were committed, I think, that this not look like a traditional high school, that it would look like a vocational school, and I think you'll see that in the design. That's been our attempt anyway. I think it's aesthetically pleasing, yet looking like a vocational school, not a traditional high school.
So concurrently with the building portion, you obviously have the site portion. Civil engineering preliminary plans were submitted to the county and approved. So that's one big hurdle out of the way. Next will be the final design plans, which is what you guys keep hearing about. You'll have a good sense next month when you see the presentation on where they stand. Our civil engineer we're still massaging different areas of the site right now. There's a lot of unknowns that were found during the existing conditions surveying that he's working around with where the sewer is going to go, where the water outlets are going to go, going back and touching on what you said already, getting Artesian to take over the water is a big help, because now we know who's going to control the mains and can kind of work on the final design there. Same with sewer. West Pavilion, I think you wanted to touch on this a little bit. We're working on the West Pavilion, which is the area out by the baseball fields and the track, wanting to do kind of a concourse type place, having a restroom out there for our, not only just the teams, but the people to come out and watch the games and the track meets.
you're right on it. There'll be a West Pavilion that way. There'll also be an East Pavilion. It'll be part of the stadium. It'll be another version of that. We're proposing on the west side, as Mr. Canola has said. He's been instrumental in this in terms of design. The design, as soon as today, we're still having conversations about placement in terms of building and utility hookup and convenience for spectators and convenience for teams, and something on the east, something on the west end, west side also, a couple of team rooms, restrooms, that type of a situation. And then we'd also like to get into an indoor multi-purpose area, nothing extravagant, but and we run, we have batting cages inside the current B-gym. If you haven't been in the B-gym, you might want to stick your head in there someday, and it's a converted diesel shop. And, you know, so that's being torn down. What you're seeing, all that's being torn down. So the issue is, you know, where can we put this practice multi-purpose facility, depending upon the season, to be part of that design. So we're working with the UEE team on the placement of that. I think that's one of the unique things. Our site is unique. I think this West Pavilion will be unique. Again, come to a baseball game, a softball game, we don't have a parking area. We don't have a restroom. We don't have, you know, we got, I call them pop-up buildings, garages, and other things. But the symmetry of the site is can be improved by what we're looking at. I think you're going to see more detail at the DD level when it comes in here next month.
So the auxiliary sports building we're talking about.
That's that building.
Uh-huh. That's part of the construction project, or we can do that now.
Well, it's kind of a catch-22, Dr. Maston, because as Mr. Knoll said, we will always be completely transparent and maintain our relationship with the county regarding approval of civil plans and what it is we say we're going to build. Well, what we don't want to do is say, here's, and they have, they've approved, you know, the initial concept on that. Well, part of that approval process, a significant portion of it, has to do with how much impervious space are you building. And so if we say we've got a, you know, a major project for a couple $100 million, and then, you know, we slide in, you know, 15,000 square feet of something that's impervious, that's outside of the project, I don't think that's operating in good faith. So the answer to your question is that we intend to incorporate it as part of the project, to be on board about what our intentions will do. Portions of this project are going to be alternates because we don't know what the budget will sustain and what the results will be on bid day. That's the beauty of an alternate, right? If we have a good bid day on that, we can pick up alternate A, B, C, and D. And the committee will have to make those decisions about what becomes an alternate and what is a gotta have versus a nice to have. And, you know, we'll make those decisions. But at one point in time, we were going to do this ourselves, and we were going to fund it through our set aside in order to be able to do that. But quite frankly, I think we were creating a sense of confusion for the civil engineer. And so we backed off of that and said, let's introduce the idea of the West Pavilion in there. And behind the West Pavilion will be this multi-purpose space. Everybody understood that, seemed to understand that. And away we go. So.
That way you can show it to the county. You can be accounted in right. Our stormwater. And eventually we're going to have water and sewer hookups back there anyway. Right. So if we can incorporate it all at one time, again, as a bid alternate, if we can afford it, we'll do it. If we can't, then to be put off, then we can revisit the multi-purpose center as a secondary and possibly fund it like we were going to originally. However, it will still be on our plans and shown that we would like to do this, so it's not a surprise to the county folks.
Right.
Just being transparent.
Good.
Thank you, Mr. Knoll. Mr. Anthony?
Good evening, all. All right, so we have layout design alterations, adjustments ongoing. Dr. Carson and I did have an intensive two-day at Wilmington with various members of various teams and construction and everything else. There were a lot of clarifications, and our expectations were clarified as well. Thought it was fairly productive. Still, you know, working through a lot of things there, but it was... It was good to go through everything, so not a whole lot of back and forth there. We do have partial A&E revisions, and those, of course, are still ongoing. What we're doing is we're getting equipment lists as they're being revised from the A&E teams. So we get the equipment list, then I turn around and send them out to the associated teacher and staff and asking them to verify what they're looking at, final input, like, hey, they're really, I'd like a door there or whatnot. We vet it. If it makes sense, we send it back to the A&E team with our recommendations. And then we're also starting to look at various spreadsheets where the teachers will actually put in there what their current equipment is, what they feel could go to the new building, what they would request when they move to the new building if something they currently have is on its way out. So those are going back and forth. The only thing that puts a little damper in that is it's still summertime. So, you know, trying to get the response there. But they've been, our teachers and staff have been pretty good with that. As always, the function flow and safety is front and foremost in everything. And, you know, when you think you have a good idea and you evaluate it from various angles, it's like, well, you know, it's not really a good idea because of X, Y, Z. So it's a definite process. And, of course, efficiencies as well. So with layout and design, are there any questions on that? And the existing site, one of the fun things we have going on, we do continue to have issues, and of course they are addressed as they pop up. Essentially, our custodial maintenance staff are getting very, very skilled at whack-a-mole. So I'm planning on taking them all down to Funland and racking up all those tickets so I can get the biggest stuffed animal they have. One of those is our stormwater system. So you all might remember several years ago we had a stormwater issue near the daycare, and essentially the pipes were dry fit. There's really no sealant between them and the other parts of the system. So that washes out the soil around it, and we found another one actually which was right underneath the former exit. Right on Route 9. Not on Route 9. We take that back. It's being recorded. It's not on Route 9. So I don't want anybody to freak out or run out here. It's on our side of Route 9, but it was the exit that would go onto Route 9. Hopkins, fortunately, they were able to get in here very quickly, excavated just around the area, found the exact same issue. They patched it. They patched the other side of it, cleaned it out, compacted it back, put the bollard. So what we started noticing it because the bollard started to shift in an angle that you don't like to see. Leaning towers should stay in Italy. So they fixed all that, but we do know we'll have continued issues as they go along. So that's been taken care of. Of course, ongoing HVAC issues. We had Caswell was just here to fix something in the 800 wing. We had a major leak in the water system above the 800 wing. So they fixed that. And of course, then today we find a essentially duplicate issue right outside of cosmetology where the 100 and 200 wings meet. So they're coming back to look at that one and give us a price for that. And but again, as everything comes up, we sit there, we evaluate it. We have someone come out as quickly but as efficiently as possible. Same thing with security upgrades. We have the constable program. Mr. Glenn Dixon is phenomenal. He's been putting that together, working on schedules and coordination with stations and things of that nature. We did put up another security-type station at the bus entrance where all the students come in. But that is also where we have a multitude of visitors trying to access the building during the day. So there's another station there that should assist in that. We also had some copper testing on our water. So all schools are part of the ongoing water testing. This is completely separate from the lead testing system. This is done all the time with every school. Three fixtures that were tested with the came back hot for copper. Unfortunately, it was really due to the process wasn't done properly. So we redid the process, came back, and had minimal readings on that. So copper is fine. It was essentially changing filters and making sure everything was flush the amount of time that we're supposed to do it prior. It was on some bottle fillers, so they're difficult to run constantly. So we actually had to have someone sit there and keep triggering it so to do that. Talked about the major leak there. The other HVAC issue that is major, the chiller that services the entire 800 wing and part of the 200 wing, it's essentially been running at half capacity for a little while. There are two compressors on the system, and not to get too crazy with it, one of the compressors is complete. So we're having Daikin, who is the original manufacturer of the chiller, they're coming back to replace compressor number two. Originally they were scheduled to be here when all the teachers were back. We begged, pleaded, offered whatever we could to get them here earlier. They are to be here Monday. So that should take care of everything, and the chiller would be back to full capacity. So if you had been in the building all throughout this, you would notice certain areas were a little warmer, a little more humid. So we've had fans running all day trying to move air around, things like that. I think that's about it in a nutshell. Any questions?
The stormwater piping, of course, all be new for the new school, correct?
Not necessarily all, but that we don't really have a handle on right now.
Okay. And my question is, what do we do with the old? Are we continue to have problems with it? And anything we could do now address those problems?
So we address them as they are, as they come.
Quite sure.
Because to address the entire system would be a phenomenal feat and an extraordinary cost.
They would have to go in each structure, go down in each structure, right, and evaluate it. And also put a camera in each pipe and go down the whole system. It's very timely and very costly.
And especially with some of it, as we know, won't survive the new building.
Yes.
So, you know, we just hit it as it comes and cross our fingers that another one doesn't pop up.
Interesting. So
our crews are pretty good at, hey, there's a hole over here. it's something you don't want to see. Yeah.
Take me to the bus and tell them.
No, we're not going to have any of those. No, our buses are going to be good. And one last thing, speaking of buses, all of that information, all currently enrolled students who have need transportation or on a bus stop, that's been given to the contractors to start calling students. And we've already had some parents calling in, hey, they're picking my student up at the wrong location, we've moved, so that's already in full swing. And letters are, I believe they were stuffed yesterday. So they're being mailed out as well. Thank you all.
Thank you, Mr. Adey. Again, I want to reiterate that Todd's done an exceptional job, in my opinion, regarding managing the process and utility work and everything else. He's been certainly a valuable asset to the process as we, not only with our existing building, but with the new one. Under information and recognitions, there are two packets in your folder regarding state initiatives affecting business and economic development, and also the bond bill, community investment for Sussex County. The one that counts is on the last page, which is us, Sussex Tech High School, and the governor's portion. That was the $36 million. The governor recommended an addition to that. We're in line for market pressure money also. So that's for you to review. The next thing that I'd like to share with you is...
can I interrupt you for that?
Certainly.
So is marijuana legal in schools now or not?
Well, consumption is legal within... the state of Delaware, based upon that law. It's still a federal offense, and it's still offense within our schools. But if you go down the road, I'm going to
comes up. Sharing.
Yeah, because I guess what I'm getting to there is, you take a juvenile. If they're, you know, caught smoking marijuana in school, does that automatically give them a criminal record? Since it's not legal in Delaware, I mean, it is legal. How can it give a criminal record?
It's a great, it's the great precedent question as part of the passage of the law to begin with. And I think it would come down to the arresting officer's decision, then the attorney general about how they intend to prosecute them. I'm sure we're going to see how all that works in the year that's in front of us.
It's similar to alcohol in a sense, too, because there's age limits and requirements are still part of that law.
Okay.
So I want to share with you a we talked about marketing and our programs at school, and one of those pieces, we had a Hollywood opportunity for some folks, and then we're going to...
You are never too old.
Well, you are too old. So if I click on this... You really all should be amazed at this. There we go.
You are never too old to learn. We learn something new every day here on Delmarva Live. And today, we want to talk about learning a whole new trade. It might sound a little intimidating, but hey, it doesn't have to be.
The Sussex Tech Adult Education Division makes it easy and affordable to get the education and training you need to create a career in a skilled trade.
Now you can shift down a second. Now watch that guy.
On a beautiful summer day in Georgetown. I get to take an 18-wheeler for a spin.
Very good.
My CAG industrial training coordinator at the school demonstrates one of the other heavy equipment simulators.
It's also part of training that, you know, it, not only are, you know, can you drive a piece of heavy equipment in real life here, you know, we'd like to get the students some experience on the simulator.
Virtual reality technology is moving fast in education, providing a solid bridge between classroom and real life.
Proving beneficial because the students are getting the experience here, which they really relate to, and then it's super relatable in real life, you know, out in the shops or, you know, in the heavy equipment lab.
We shoot some metal, so.
Sussex Tech Adult Education Division takes hands-on training to the next level with career and technical training and apprenticeship training programs.
We have phlebotomy, we have dental, as you can see, we're in the dental lab.
Shelly Doyle is the health professions coordinator. She says the health professions training courses offered here prepare students for jobs in high demand.
There's jobs everywhere. We have businesses calling us every day looking for our students. Some have had prior students come to them to work, and we're very pleased, and we're looking for additions to their staff. Some are just looking to staff their offices or facilities.
Hey, Mrs. Jones, my name is Victor. What are you seeing here today?
Students in the Certified Nursing Assistance Program get hands-on experience for when they get a job working directly with patients.
Our CNA is the fastest program. It takes about 3 weeks to get through that program. It's a little more accelerated. The students are in the classroom every day. They do a clinical rotation at a local nursing home.
Shelley adds students can continue through the different medical programs over time. She did.
I was someone who went back to school at a later age too to become an RN. And I started out as a medical assistant and got my certification with that. And then I moved on to an associate degree in nursing, to my bachelor's degree, and further mine. So I'm always advocating for those students to definitely increase their education and as they can do it at any age.
Recently, we expanded. Knock some walls down.
Mm-hmm. Apprenticeship training at Sussex Tech Adult Education combines daily on-the-job training with trade-related classroom instruction. This not only gives students a clear pathway to a sturdy career, it provides a pathway for employers to get trained and certified employees.
The employers sponsor their apprentices, so they become registered apprentices, and that's how they earn the journeyperson credential. And so our school is the licensing pathway for some skilled trades, businesses, professionals to earn their professional license in, say, like electrical.
Students will, you know, put all their switches and outlets in here, in their fixtures.
My dad's many employers will even help pay the registration fee. And classes are held at convenient times to accommodate the non-traditional students who eventually become part of the trade community.
And I think that's the most admirable part about our program is that you've got this group of people that have a desire to pass on our knowledge to the next generation. And that's how our system is designed. That's how it operates. And it's really on that willingness of the skilled trades people to continue on that program and continue passing on that knowledge.
And with that knowledge, students can leave here and write their own ticket to a successful future. And most classes at Sussex Tech Adult Education start in September, so the time to register is now. And if you go to the school's website, you can get information on all the programs and fill out an interest link. We have that link on our website. Just click on What's Happening Today.
Was that as fun as it looked?
It was.
Yeah.
That's the first time I'd ever driven an 18-wheeler.
Your dad was a trucker.
I have. He didn't let me drive the truck.
Oh.
Stick around. Don't marvel like it.
We also have a commercial running through the end of August.
I haven't either, I guess.
Oh, you've seen it,
yeah.
Bites at the end.
He's also
a television. Yeah. I didn't see that. Yes. House
of Spanish, or they just put it in. Yes, that too.
And that's been out there. It's also been interesting because the feedback that we've got from the community was we've seen your commercial, we've seen your programs, and folks have an idea of what we should be teaching and doing in this facility. So it's been beneficial to us. I think it's going to impact enrollment.
Mike sent me enrollment numbers today. From this time last year, our apprenticeship enrollment is up 40%.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
He's like, I need
teachers. a couple of other things for you. Yesterday, the student performance data was released by the state of Delaware. There seems to be some hiccups on the data portal that is managed by the state. We're always, always want to know how are we doing and how do we compare and percentages. We talked about summer school earlier along the way. We can all, always improve on that performance. I say this annually. I'm not sure that the general metrics that math and literacy, obviously important. But I think the structure of what we do in the county vocational system is different. So certifications that are offered, that are obtained, students who pass and receive the coursework. We just saw the commercial. You get your apprenticeship coming out of here. I think you've had a successful high school experience. Those are the variables that I think should really be in determining whether you've got a successful environment along the way. But the traditional academic side, we think we're able to compete with the best of them, and we'll continue to do so with that vocational opportunity attached right with it, and continue to move forward. So a couple of dates for you. August 16, 17 is the new teacher orientation. That's next week, believe it or not. And August 22nd, teachers return. And on Wednesday, August the 23rd, we're having a, we typically do a breakfast program. We're doing a welcome back luncheon where we'll be introducing new staff and saying hello to everybody. It's going to be in the commons area. So if your schedule permits, and you're able to join us on Wednesday, August 23rd. That would be
starting what time?
What time?
I'm going to say 11:30, quarter to 12 would be fine, and we'll have you on your way probably by 1:15 or so. Depends on how long Dr. Peel talks. We'll see how all that works. also on your agenda, I wanted to give you a wellness center update. We afforded the opportunity to go through an interview process with the Division of Public Health, with BB Health Services and Title Health Services, and the consensus decision was to proceed with BB Healthcare to provide wellness center services for students next year. That's good news for our school system. Number one, that we're able to continue to have a wellness center program. That's a great thing. And we're also making arrangements to work with BB to provide student physicals for fall sports. And one of the things that always was part of the wellness center was that there were physicals that could be done. We don't have the documentation for BB yet from public health in order to institute that. But they're working on arrangements for them to come in. I believe it's Thursday night. Yeah, tomorrow night. Thank you. So for students who've had difficulty getting a physical in order to be able to participate, they'll be able to come at no cost and be able to continue to participate in that program. So so that's good news for us also.
So the wellness center will be staffed as of September 1st?
It'll be staffed, but I can't tell you when. We have to have documentation and contracts. Everything that comes from BB, it will appear on a board agenda. That could be one of the contract issues at the September meeting. We may do a provisional until the board meeting along the way. My assumption is that the board is in favor of still having a wellness center at the school, and they're under contract to Division of Public Health. Again, they're not our employees at this point. I'll keep you apprised as to when their official start is, or maybe we'll cut a ribbon or do something like that for them.
So in the meantime, what's our obligation to the students?
Our obligation is like any other school. We have two nurses, who do a great job. And then this ancillary program, like the student physicals for ball sports, we're doing as a separate benefit until they get up and running at full capacity.
And school psychologist?
Still contracted service. I think just about everybody else is looking for psychologists along the way, including the state of Delaware.
15.
15? So, and telling you about the demand for school psychologists along the way. So, we have vetted, and we think we have an arrangement for heard of telemed and psychological services being made available through that same type of service as a process. My preference would be to have a acceptable, well-qualified school psychologist on campus to do that. There just simply aren't enough folks to be able to do that, and we're competing with private sector also in that regard. So.
And how's the child care center working out?
Great.
So the new people who want to do, everything's fine there?
Yes, sir. And they've been participating with us and offering suggestions and working with early childhood education regarding the new facility. Now they've done well, and it's been a benefit for our employees in the school system also. That's worked out well. Just in passing, I wanted to say, we talked about the state assessment results. There's also a new observation system, partnership system in play that our administrators and teachers are going to be participating in. And I know the first two letters are DT.
DT? DSS?
And so we're active. That's part of the in-service training that's going to be happening with staff when they return the third week of August. So we think there's a connection there. We did receive communication from Dr. Tall, one of our school counselors, regarding AP performance for our students in calculus, English language, English comp, Spanish, and statistics. And our students did well. Of the students who took Spanish and English, scores of 3 or higher, 100% got passed the AP portion of that. So we believe we're competitive from an academic standpoint. We believe the icing on the cake is the technical program that goes along with that. So our data is showing that our AP students are doing well through that also.
And as a math teacher, I'm going to ask for the math.
There was Calc. We had 10 students take it. The average score was 2.0 out of a 5-point scale. Okay. And English Lit and Spanish were 3.9 and 4.1 for the respectively.
And that's passing an AP test.
3 or 4.
3 or 4.
3 or high, right.
So of the math calculus of the 10, how many passed?
I don't know. The average score was
2.0. Okay, so you don't know how many.
I don't know.
Okay.
And statistics, what you mentioned statistics?
1.6, 2.0 in English language comp. But they're doing well with their AP coursework. 100% in those two categories is outstanding. Dr. Masson, you mentioned earlier funding for adult education. Swaley's probably going to kick my chair. They received $113,000 to pilot after-school trades program for other high schools through the Department of Labor grant application process. Still has to be finalized along the way, but there's $113,000, and I suspect, don't know, but I suspect that the Department of Labor funding probably came from ESSER. Mm-hmm. So that would be an example of a channeling of dollars that are available, but to the topics that you've raised this evening, after school programs, other districts, apprenticeship training, mm-hmm. we're in that mix. You remember in the budget presentation regarding adult education, there was, at no fault of our program, but notification by the state of our receipt. They received $509,620, which was more than they received for fiscal year 23. So the state is recognizing the good work that's happening here and the funding for adult education, federal money and state money across the board. Mrs. Whaley, anything to add regarding tuition assistance or enrollment? I'm assuming things are...
Yes, it's... Applications are coming in every day, especially now that enrollment is up and running hot and heavy. So we've been able to help a lot of students. Billy Joe sends me updates periodically, so I can ask because you know you'd ask, so I'll ask her tomorrow for an updated spreadsheet and I'll let you guys know how much we've
got. And what do you do? How do you recruit technical people from the private sector to come here and teach?
We advertise on Facebook, in the Sussex Guide, Cape Gazette.
The marquee board in front of school.
Yes, it's out here.
PK Restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
PK Restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's there. They graduated
from
here.
Here's the roof.
Yeah.
On the little
right, yes.
Paper thing?
Yeah, we're shameless. We'll come find it if you want to work with some people along the way. That's all I have for you, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Carson, and all the presenters. Next, we'll move to board reports. Ms. Jones.
We won't meet again. Did we get the list of dates yet?
Yes, you did. It was, you'll be in October.
Yeah, usually it is in October, but with a change in leadership, I wasn't sure. But yeah, I don't remember getting the dates. I may need to get up from there.
Mr. Hayes?
No board report to that.
All right, thank you. Next, we'll move to public participation. You are participating in the Zoom meeting this evening and would like to address the board. Please use the raise your hand feature on Zoom to make them aware. Comments are limited to 3 minutes or less. Option two, you may send questions or comments, feedback at sussextech.k12.de.us for a response at a later time. Board of Education of Sussex County Vocational School District recognizes its responsibility to the public and its employees concerning their needs to communicate with the Board of Education. The board values public participation and recognizes the importance of public input on issues affecting the community. The board would like to remind the members of the public of its expectations and proper etiquette. We expect members of the public to conduct themselves responsibly, civilly, courteously, and with due respect. Beginning of your presentation, please identify yourself and the purpose of your presentation. Presentations are limited to 3 minutes. Do we have any? No, sir. Okay, thank you. Next, we'll move to agenda action items. I need a motion for the approval of personnel actions.
So moved, Dr. Masten.
Second.
Motion made by Dr. Masten, seconded by Mr. Knudel. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for approval of the monthly financials for July 31st, 2023, and the ESSER summary.
So moved, Dr. Masten.
Motion made by Dr. Masten, seconded by Mr. Johnson. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of a financial position report as of July 1, 2023.
So moved, Ricky Wise.
Motion made by Ms. Wise.
Second by Marcel Hayes.
Seconded by Mr. Hayes. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of district purchase orders and vouchers.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Knudel. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next, we'll move to unfinished business or new business. We do have a welcome back luncheon that was mentioned earlier. Is there any new business or unfinished business? So our next board meeting is Wednesday, September 13th, 2023. I need a motion to adjourn.
On that board meeting, with all the presentation materials that they're going to bring in, I'd like to request that maybe we find a bigger place to do it, if possible. Is that possible?
It's certainly possible for us to have a bigger room. Our challenge has been the ability to have a bigger facility that has Zoom capabilities.
Gotcha.
For members of the public, although the emergency is over now, we're not required to do. We have continued Zoom as a way of offering the transparency of the matter. I can assure you that one of the spaces in that new building is going to be able to handle a larger group with Zoom capabilities. But
just a thought. I just know we got architects and engineers.
Yep.
There's going to be at least 4 to 6 of them. You got presentation boards plus
right.
A visual board. It's a lot of paperwork. It may be, we've got questions with guys that are reviewing the plan.
Our best.
We'll look at an alternative site.
Thank you for the suggestion. Again, I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Adele Jones.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Jones, seconded by Mr. Galugo. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried unanimously.
So adjourned.
Yeah. Thank